Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Under God, and together, we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. And we will make America great again.
Well, welcome, friends. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here. I want to bring you the greetings of the organization I lead, Priests for Life, one of the largest pro-life organizations. And I want to thank you for coming and joining me on this program. Some of you faithfully every weeknight. Others, if you're new to the program, welcome. We use the Word of God and prayer as a lens to evaluate and comment on and pray over the news that our country is facing day to day on our evolving and critically important political scene, especially this year. So, welcome. We want to save America. We want to make America great again. We're unapologetically in President Trump's corner with that, and we tell you why on this program. Luke 22, I want to read about Peter's denial of Jesus. This, is, of course, is one of the saddest stories in the gospel, and it really speaks to all of us because every sin we commit is a denial of Jesus in one way or another. And there's a lot to learn from, not only for our personal spiritual life from this story, but for our life as America. We'll reflect a little bit about that. Now I want to tell you about some encouraging polling in the presidential race. President Trump continues to pull way ahead. Luke 22:54. Then they seized Jesus and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, "Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Let us pray. Father, there is much weeping going on in our nation today. We see the ongoing destruction of a once great country, a country still great in her strength and her principles, but a country in decline under the current leadership. Lord, we are not going to hesitate to say it, to pray it, to act it out, that we must save this nation from the Democrats who are destroying it, and that we will unapologetically apply your holy word to the world of politics. Lord, we make it clear. We do not consider anyone to be a political savior. We have one savior, and his name is Jesus Christ, your son, the word made flesh, the one who died and rose for our salvation, the one in whom alone we put our faith, the one to whom alone we owe absolute obedience. He is the only savior and hope of humanity. Lord, having acknowledged that, we know that we must fight in the political arena. This is not an area that you exempt us from fighting in. This is not an area that we are going to relinquish to our enemies. This is not an area somehow outside of your lordship. You are Lord of every aspect of our lives and our activities, including political ones. But Lord, there is a lot of weeping today in our nation because there has been a lot of betrayal. There has been a lot of denying you. Lord God, just like Peter, he denied you. He was afraid of the consequences. How many of us deny you in our political lives? Seeking power instead of adhering to principle? Seeking popularity instead of fidelity? Seeking the approval of men instead of the approval of God? There's a lot of betrayal in our nation right now, Lord God, betrayal of your law. We think of the respect for human life. The Democrat leaders are sanctioning baby killing with no restrictions, no limits, no exceptions. They want unlimited abortion. Lord God, what more directly, clearly, in black and white, contradicts your law than that? The very foundation of morality. The respect for the dignity of human life. Why is any issue an issue at all if there's not a dignity of life that has to be respected? Save us, Lord. We weep bitterly. We weep bitterly for our own sins. We have not always been as politically active or morally vocal as we should be. Lord, let that change starting today. Bring a new wind of change. Lord God, there's lots of weeping. Some have lost hope. Some have given up in despair at the strength of the enemy. Lord, we know the enemy is strong. We also know greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You are stronger. We have neither the reason nor the right to despair. We have you. Strengthen us. Strengthen us to get up once again, even as Peter got up once again. Even after this dreadful sin of betraying you, denying you three times, he got up. He accepted your forgiveness, and he carried out his special role in your plan of salvation. And under your inspiration, he even wrote some of the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for always welcoming us back. Once we repent of our sins, may America repent. May all of our fellow citizens repent every day and be renewed in your love and your life and your grace. And Lord, once again, as the body of Christ, powerful as we are, filled with your Spirit, we pray right now a change on those leaders who are betraying America day by day, moment by moment. Lord, deliver us and deliver us now. We ask this prayer as we ask all things through Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, so Dick Morris is somebody that I really respect and listen to his commentaries and so forth. Let me echo to you something you may have heard, as this was a few days ago. But he's talking about how President Trump is just continuing to grow a lead over Biden, and he thinks it's very, very significant and historic and decisive. He talks about the polling that he looks at weekly and monthly, and Biden has moved to 3 behind and then 4 behind. And now, he says, it's getting into a completely different order of magnitude, this lead of President Trump. And he references a recent poll from McLaughlin and Associates. We did some polling work with them ourselves recently that showed President Trump ahead in a survey of likely voters nationwide, ahead by 2 points. But now, this more recent poll is showing him ahead by 6 points. 6 points. 49 to 43. 49. So Dick Morris says this margin is significant, very significant, but 50 would be the magic number, of course, then indicating a clear majority. Now, McLaughlin, and again, I know that the Jim and John, the two brothers, McLaughlin and Associates, have been very conservative about their numbers, as Dick Morris also points out. And Biden, of course, sees these numbers too. Of course, in his comments, he says to reporters when they quote some of these polls, oh, you're looking at the wrong numbers, you're looking at the wrong polls. Yeah, right. Keep eating your ice cream, Joe. It's just silly things that he says in response to this, reading the wrong polls. But because he sees what's going on, he's become increasingly angry and divisive in his tone. You saw the deranged State of the Union address, really one of the most embarrassing speeches in political history, especially as a State of the Union address. It was a rallying, it was actually a failed attempt, a desperate attempt to rally the Democrat base. It wasn't a State of the Union. It wasn't addressed to the Union. It was addressed to the base Democrats. We've analyzed that already. But what Dick Morris is saying is, hey, you know what? That's not helping him. This divisive, angry, hyper-partisan yelling at people is not helping Biden at all. He calls it a big mistake. He also makes an interesting observation. Of course, we know that the reversing of Roe v. Wade has the pro-abortion movement in an utter frenzy and of anger. And of course, we knew that that was going to happen. Don't think abortion is automatically a losing issue. I have addressed that on this program. I'll continue to address it. It's my area of expertise. It's not a losing issue. It's a winning issue if you articulate it the right way. Of course, you could say that about a lot of things. But it really is a winning issue. It has been a winning issue in many, many elections in the past. Now, of course, we have a new terrain with Roe v. Wade reversed, the other side yelling about, oh, our reproductive rights are being taken away. They actually aren't, because the reversal of Roe v. Wade put it back into the hands of the people. Actually, you could say that now, you know, if they have the right if they have the right position, that they should be more confident than ever. Because the courts are stepping back from the issue and leaving it to the legislative branch, this can be a winning issue. But brothers and sisters, that's more for a different conversation. What Dick Morris said is, okay, you may have some women, because of this, tending on that issue to vote Democrat instead of Republican because of the abortion issue. This time around, which is different from a lot of other elections, there are more pro-abortion people motivated to vote just on that issue than there are pro-life people motivated to vote just on that issue. Notice carefully what I'm saying. Our own polling together with McLaughlin showed this too, that most of the time in the past it's been the reverse. That, you know, you've always got a certain segment of voters for whom the abortion issue is the most definitive factor in their decision for a candidate, okay? But among that segment of the voters, sometimes bigger than or smaller, usually it's like a 2-to-1 advantage for the pro-life side more motivated. Because we had the big obstacle in the way of Roe v. Wade. We knew we had to change the Supreme Court. That was a big motivating factor in the elections. Now that it's been reversed, this dynamic has reversed. The anger now is, anger is the number one motivating factor. When you talk about getting people out for elections, what do you try to do? You paint a bad guy, right? And you say, there's the bad guy. Same thing in fundraising. You want to get people motivated to write that check. Point out the bad guy that we have to defeat. So that's why it's the advantage. The advantage is not because the American people have suddenly become pro-abortion. That's actually not the case. Most people oppose most of the abortions. But it's a question of, okay, so now we've got this bad guy. We've got this bad situation that we're angry about. Obviously, that's going to motivate the other side to vote. Okay, put that aside for a moment. Dick Morris said recently, you know, there's a flip side to this. Just in the last few weeks, Gen Z men have begun to move sharply to the right and indicate their preference for Republicans. Interesting. What is it? It's a backlash to the leftist bias against men. Because you look at their narrative, there is a bias against men. Morris says, it's a rising rejection of feminism among young men that is almost certainly linked to the growing feelings that American society has become more hostile to men. Oh, you can say that again. It certainly has, right? The rights of men, just the idea of manhood as being toxic? Are you kidding me? If anything, we need more manhood, more manliness in our culture, in our society, not less. Families need strong fathers. And here I want to add a little observation, because I didn't talk about it earlier this week. But on Tuesday the 19th, in the Catholic community and in a number of other religious communities, that's the day that we celebrate Joseph, the husband of Mary, obviously a biblical character, an important biblical character, especially you see like at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, beginning of Luke's gospel, the role that Joseph had in protecting Jesus and Mary when Jesus was a baby. And we don't hear Joseph say anything, but we see him in the scriptures faithfully carrying out the commandment of God at their various junctures, starting, of course, with the commandment, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. It's by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived this child. But then he's given certain other instructions, you know, to flee from Herod and protect Jesus from the massacre of the innocents, etc. Joseph is a figure in the scriptures who faithfully, quietly, trustingly, obediently carries out the commands of God in very difficult situations. Protector of the family. We need men who live according to Joseph's example. That's the point. Now, my area of expertise, the abortion issue. Look, it's not just a women's issue. It's a man's issue, too. It's a human issue. We make a mistake. See, the other side wants to, you know, we're going to get back into Mark Levin's book starting next program, Democrat Party Hates America. We've been studying this book. We're going to pick up where we left off, and we're going to talk about the Electoral College. But I mention this because, you know, he points out how the war that the left and incarnated in the Democrat Party is waging on America and on our freedoms and on our values takes expression in a war on the nuclear family. We say the nuclear family. God created the family. Father, a man, mother, a woman, united in a permanent bond of marriage, open to the gift of life. That's God's plan for the family. And it is to be a community of persons giving themselves to one another in love, just as within God you have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, giving themselves to one another in love. They hate the family. The family is the first school. The family is the first church, the first workplace. It's the place where you learn sharing, cooperation, forgiveness, compromise, love, faith. The left hates the family because it's a bulwark against them having control of the children. When Marxism marches in, they've got to have the children. That's how they take control of a society, take control of the minds of the youngest generation, take control of the thinking, take control of the language, therefore they can take control of the power. They hate the family because it's a protection against that. The family is the place where the children are most impressionable to absorb the values of their parents. And so this assault on parental rights that we see constantly is obviously part of the left's plan. I bring all this up because in the context of the abortion issue, they've carried out this assault by trying to say, oh, abortion is just a woman's issue. Obviously, deeply involves and impacts the woman. But notice what I'm saying. If it's just a woman's issue, well, then they've divided the family because, first of all, the man was biologically necessary for the conception of that child. And secondly, we impose obligations on men for child support. Why would we not let them have a say as to whether that child is going to live or die? Why are they systematically and have been from the beginning of legal abortion in this country cut out of any decision over the life of their own child? And why, furthermore, would parents be cut off from the decision of their own child to have an abortion if that child is capable, even as a teenager, of bearing her own child? Parents are systematically, now, fortunately, most states have adopted parental involvement laws, but the point is that the left in the abortion industry are opposed to those. They hate the family. And by isolating the woman, calling this just a woman's issue, nobody has a right to say or think or believe anything about it, if they're a man, except, of course, if they're the men on the Supreme Court that legalized abortion in the first place in Roe v. Wade, or if they're the men who put forward pro-abortion bills that they vote for in these legislatures. Oh, but they kind of ignore that. You know, that men are somehow, you know, if the men are advancing abortion, then it's fine for them to have an opinion. Hypocrites that they are. The point is simply this. The more you identify this as just a woman's issue, the less you're helping that woman, because you're isolating her from the very kind of support she needs, especially to deal with an unexpected pregnancy. A large number, in fact, I've seen statistics of up to half of those who have an abortion and say what the reasons are that they did so, say it's the absence of the father in the whole equation. Of course, because the absence of the father, or even the father of the baby saying, hey, it's totally up to you, it's totally up to you. Well, what does that do to her? It makes her feel more isolated. It's like, oh, now I'm more burdened or less burdened than if you were to say, hey, listen, we're here, we're going to make this work out together. We're going to do what's best for you and that baby. No, it's all up to you, it's all up to you. Well, then that just isolates her. And what does it do? It increases the temptation to abort. What I'm saying is, in a nutshell, we need men. We need men to step up to the plate. We need men to take responsibility, be the protectors and providers God has hardwired them to be. All right, let's go back into prayer. Father, give us men in our society who are fulfilling their role as the protectors, the advocates, the strong presence that they need to be for families and for our overall society. Give us manly leadership in our country, Lord God. Let our people not see this as something toxic, but rather as a blessing and a strength. Lord, we are encouraged by the polling. Continue to bless the voters that they may see the great leadership we have in President Trump and the great opportunity we have, indeed, to make this country great again. Lord, we sum up all our prayers and praises now in offering the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thanks, friends. It's a joy. Connect with our ministry, if you would. I think you'll like what you see. Endabortion.us. Again, don't be afraid of the abortion issue. Endabortion.us. And connect with me on social media. We'll talk about all the issues and all the politics at FR Frank Pavone. At FR Frank Pavone. Starting with Truth Social and on all the other platforms. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.
Hello, this is Abby Johnson of Unplanned the Movie. You know me as a longtime supporter of Priest for Life and of Father Frank Pavone. And I just want to encourage you, as someone who knows of the great work of this organization, please continue to stand strong. Please continue to support this mission. It is so needed now more than ever. Thank you so much for all of your support.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.